Welcome to the Start Me Up podcast, part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network in association with Mother, She Wrote Media. I'm your host, Kimberly Johnson in D.C. I'm excited. My returning guest is writer-director Jay Arnold. I just love him so much. We have a lot to talk about. But before we get into it, the Start Me Up podcast is independent, listener-funded, and woman-run. Visit patreon.com/startmeup to see the variety of tiers offered, including the option to get 2 bonus What's Up episodes per week. Kind of like my online journal where I get a little more personal and talk about whatever is on my mind. There's also an ad-free tier with a much shorter intro. Just visit patreon.com/startmeup. Now please enjoy my conversation with Jay Arnold. Welcome back to the show, Jay.
Thank you for having me again, Kimberly.
Of course. And you have your sexy voice on this morning, and I love it.
It's my allergy voice, but I wish I could hold on to it, you know? But I don't want to hold on to the allergies.
No.
Maybe a little bit, yeah.
No, so I got, did you see what's trending this morning on Twitter?
Talk to me. I did not.
Super cum. What the fuck is that?
What? Well, I did see that. I'll be honest. I mean, you know, we know, you know who you're talking to here, right? So this is something that wouldn't have just kind of like not registered in my mind, but I didn't have the time to go, should I say serve due diligence? I'm not sure, but I get into it. No, I don't, what does it mean?
I don't even know because I clicked on it. And just all I saw was people talking about that it was trending and then just posting ridiculousness. So
wow.
I don't know what the original source was.
Well, I can tell you one thing. It's not what you have at 66. Just so you know. Oh my, I can tell you what it's not. I won't go further with that.
Oh, my God.
Because I think that we do have some, you know, want to keep this somewhat respectable.
But that's why I absolutely love and adore you.
And I feel the same way.
Oh, my God. Well, there's so much news going on today. It was funny because my boyfriend is also doing a podcast, and he's like, there's so much news. I don't even
he's
know if
so
I'm...
He's so fantastic. You know, I really do adore Bob. He's marvelous, and I've become quite the fan.
Oh, well, he is, and obviously so am I. And did you know he's going to be doing a Star Trek politics podcast with Mary Trump?
I did,
in fact, so cool.
And I'm so incredibly amused by his geekness
yes.
and interest in these things.
Yes, his and office is like a museum.
Mary Trump in this mix is really something.
Yes, and he, I mean, he's always been a nerd. And, well, you know what's funny, and it's not funny, but when he was a kid, well, he was in Two Fires, right? So when he was a little baby... His house exploded and his mother basically saved his life. Within minutes, she grabbed him. I think it was something having to do with the gas and there was a gas leak or something like that. And she just grabbed
him. It's these gas stoves, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So she ran out of the house and the house exploded. And so they had to rebuild. But that's when he was just a little baby. And then when he was like, so they rebuilt on the same property. And then like 10 years later, when I think he was about 10, there was a fire in his house. And so, I don't know, not the whole house burned down, but his room, a couple other rooms, but all of his nerd paraphernalia melted. So I think that's part, you know, I mean, he grew up the Star Wars kid and Star Trek. So I think that for him, all of this is kind of, you know, has to do with him losing that stuff when he was.
Yes.
Plus, he just, he loves it.
Well, clearly he loves it.
Yeah.
Right? He's always loved it. Now, you know, he's an adult and he can, you know, buy these things and play with them to his heart's content. But, you know, I will say one small thing about that. I don't want to get too deep into this, but years ago, when my mother passed, I started this called the Dead Mothers Club, which was really very, very big on Facebook. And I had to leave it to other individuals because I obviously did not want to stay on Facebook. And it's a small page that I've been really remiss about updating on Twitter. And one of the things that always happens, and it's really heartbreaking, is that whenever I would post a story or a picture of my mom, so many people have said to me, we had fires and lost everything.
Wow.
I have no pictures of my mom.
Oh, that's
you know,
awful. Yeah.
And, you know, it's those kinds of tragedies. Mm-hmm. And the first thing we always say is, well, we got it alive. Mm-hmm. Nobody got hurt. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's true. That's really what matters. Right?
Right. Yeah.
But a lot of these, you know, particularly I think today in this digital environment, that photographs and even, you know, toys like that, it's hard to say, but they have a certain thingness.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? There was, you know, it's not just a digital thing. It's not an NFT. You know, it has, there's thingness to it.
Yeah.
You can touch it. You can hold it. It looks old. It you remember, right? It triggers the wonderful memories, and maybe not so wonderful, but, you know, memories. And it's emotive. And I think that a lot of people don't, I think the thingness matters, and it's a hard kind of a concept, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do. And I think that, you know, that's absolutely, at least with Bob, I know he is, like I said, I mean, there's a child in him anyway, but a child at heart thing. But, well, and then he just, you know, he's just, I think, dealing with that thingness. He lost the thingness and he wants that thingness. So, oh my God. So, one thing before we get into politics, I have started, and I just want to see what you have to say about this, but I'm a little bit more lax now when it comes to COVID. And it's only because I kind of have to, well, I don't have to be, but I do kind of have to be because A, I'm going to be in a wedding. And so there's just no getting out of being around people for that. That's coming up in August. But aside from that, like for instance, on Saturday, I took my mom out to dinner for Mother's Day and we went to a restaurant, and I've been in restaurants before without masks, but I don't do it very often. But of course, so like I did it. And where my mother lives, her county, there's like almost no COVID, at least in the New York Times or wherever I'm getting my information. It's like either zero per day or one per day. So it's like really low, low, low. But because like whenever I go out, like the weekend before I went out with my dad and we were antique shopping and there was like almost nobody in the stores, so I didn't wear my mask. And I immediately start feeling like I'm getting COVID. And so
God forbid somebody should cough when you're not wearing a mask. Like chills run right down your spine, right?
So are you like, how are you doing? Because it's been 3 years now and I'm just now starting to like, okay, I have to like, I'm going to go to this place and not wear a mask. I mean, have you been masking? What are your thoughts? How do you feel about it?
Well, I would say that for myself, it's been a very, very slow process. The first, about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I was invited to a charity event in New York, and there was a lot of very prominent actresses and people there. And it was a play and off Broadway. And we went up like in a little private bus. You know, like 12 people as a charity. And me and Bruce, my partner, got on the bus with a mask, and nobody else was wearing a mask. And it was a pretty big bus, I have to be quite honest. And, you know, we were just kind of looking at each other like, you know, like are we weird? What are we doing? You know. And I would say that probably halfway through that trip, I took my mask off. And I felt like I was doing a bad thing. I felt like if my mother was there, she'd be like, what's wrong with you? If they told you to jump off a bridge, would you jump off a bridge? And it wasn't really so much that. And I am very much, I'm like you, I check on a regular basis. Yeah. Philadelphia is the fifth largest market in the United States.
Yeah.
When you look at the COVID now numbers and you look at like transmission rates, because we really can't go by cases anymore because nobody's reporting anything. Anything above a one means the transmission is growing. Anything below one means the transmission is shrinking. I don't recall, about a few months ago it hit one, and I was the first time I ever saw that. When I checked before we left for New York, it was 0.05.
Wow.
So that is a very significant decrease, and literally a few cases per 100,000.
Right.
So are we making a statistical analysis of safety here and what is and what is not? I think that and since then, by the way, I've been masking much, much less frequently. Most of the time, to be fair, I spent outside, and I'm not interested in wearing a mask when I'm walking around outside. Although I'd be honest with you, if I walk through a crowd, I hold my breath. Now, I don't know if it does anything, but I still do it, right? So there's a consciousness, right? So I would say that what it's left me with is a heightened consciousness. And I would say that regardless of COVID, moving forward, if I were in a really huge arena with a lot of people, I would most likely wear a mask.
Right.
I will tell you that for the 3 years that I wore a mask, I didn't get a cold, a flu, anything, zero, nothing.
Same.
And so, you know, I do think that in some ways it has modified my behavior slightly.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I am going out without a mask to places like restaurants, but I'm consciousness of if it's vented or if it, you know, where I sit and things of that nature.
Yeah, like we got a booth and I was glad for the booth.
Right.
But
me too.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's, you know, and I'm totally there with you on the if everyone jumped off a cliff, because that's exactly what it feels like. It's like everybody else is just like, fuck it, we're not wearing masks and we're just going back to life. And a lot of people just don't even have an issue. In fact, one of the women in my sister's wedding, her and her husband, who is immunocompromised, both had COVID. And I asked them, you know, did you get your bivalent shots? And she said no. And she's like, it's not even a consideration. And so I can't even understand that, because I've always been, my father used to joke that because I used to live in California and he lived in Maryland. So when I come back and visit, it's like, you know, especially during the holidays, he would joke that I had to wear like a hazmat suit because I'm always afraid of catching anything. This is pre-COVID.
It's so stuck to your hair.
Yeah. I've always been. Yeah. It's like just, I mean, and at the worst, when we weren't vaccinated, I was so freaking anal that I would, if I went into the grocery store or any enclosed area, I wouldn't touch my hair. I would come home and wash my hair. And I was so obsessed. It was like, I was so obsessed. And
yes, I mean, I didn't reuse masks. I threw them right in the trash. I'm like, no, it's all stuck to the outside.
That's exactly. And the reason I did it was, and this was like, I was just freaking out because I thought I'm my mom's only kid and nothing can happen to me.
Right.
Nothing can happen to me because I have to take care of her and she can't lose me. And that, of course, I was pre-vaccine. So that was just really, so I mean,
well,
it is, it's just hard.
I don't want, and we'll close this topic out here.
Yeah.
Not to give anything to, not to suggest this in any particular way, but I had COVID, of course, after 2 years of, you know, being insane about it. And ultimately, I ended up getting it. And that was literally 6 weeks before I shot this film. So it was about a year ago.
Wow.
And I just went and I had a complete workup. And the doctor said to me, she said, first of all, just so you know, I have there are no lines left on my card.
Yeah, right.
I've had every vaccine there is to get.
Yeah.
Aside from what they say is brand new right now this minute.
Mm-hmm.
And the doctor looked at me and said, she said, so you never had COVID? I said, yeah, I had COVID.
Wow.
She goes, wow, you don't have any natural antibodies at all, but you do have 20,000 units from the vaccines. And I'm like, wow, how many am I supposed to have? She goes, 600.
Wow.
So
you're safe.
That's it. you know, I did get however many lines are on that shot, six, five, whatever there were, and I'm over 65, right? So I don't think I'll be getting more.
Right. Wow. That's great. That's good to know. And that would actually
Unless something changes substantially,
Right. And that's good to know as far as just like feeling confident. If I knew that information, I would feel a lot more confident. Well, you know.
Well, you can almost any, if you go and have blood work or you have anything checked now, you can very easily just say, give me an antibody. You know, give me the antibody numbers. And they'll give you what's natural and what is from a vaccine.
Now I want to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I actually want to go to the
home
doctor.
Kit, the home antibody, how much do you have? If it's this color, get another shot. And if it's that color, anyway.
Yes.
Let's talk about something more pleasant in today's terms.
Okay, so let's break here and we'll be back after this message. Hey, this is Kimberly. If you're not already my patron, just visit patreon.com/startmeup. You can take a look at all the tiers and decide how you want to support the show. Thank you so much. Okay, let's talk about Rudy. Rudy Giuliani is being sued for sexual assault. And I'm not going to say the big story out of this because the big story out of this number one is that he's a rapist, allegedly. Mm-hmm. I believe this woman, because, oh my God, like every single thing that's mentioned in this filing says there are recordings and emails. So
yes.
she's got the evidence. Lordy, there are tapes to back all this up. But
yes, there are.
There was the huge thing that came out that he was telling her that he and Trump are splitting the amount, selling pardons for $2 million. Oh my God.
Well, what does it mean if you didn't sell any?
Well, that's true.
Who gave them $2 million? How many did he do?
Exactly.
Well, first of all, we don't have to know. There's pardons that are, I do believe that they do not have to be disclosed.
Right.
Okay. So there may have been pardons mm-hmm. that he's given, but there was a lot of awkward people in there. Brody, all these people that got, you know, pardons that out of nowhere,
yeah.
they could have paid. You know, the first thing I thought of was, A, that sounds cheap.
Can I
go steal
really?
$1 billion and just give you $2 million for the pardon? The second thing is, did you pay taxes on that $2 million? I mean, everything about it just stinks so badly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anyone really is all that surprised.
No.
Unfortunately.
No. None of
them. You know, it's like we've normalized this insanity, mm-hmm. you know? So, oh, well, they sold a pardon for $2 million. Well, you know, that sounds like a lot of money to most people. And, you know, so what?
Well, yeah. Although I think this is an interesting case because it seems like we're seeing, I think I just saw, I didn't read this, but there was an article that I saw yesterday about how the Smartmatic case against Fox is more solid than the Dominion. Something
I saw that as well. I'm not sure I buy it, but I, you know.
Right.
I did see it.
Okay, Mr. Cynical.
Now, the only reason I say that is because, you know, this really was in many ways punitive.
Yes.
And so, okay, they did it, and now everybody knows what it is. And is everybody going to be willing to do that again? Is every jury unanimously going to do that again?
That's true.
I just don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I hope they do. Mm-hmm. You know, I hope they take them down, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure. I'm really not.
No, that's a good point. And I don't know either. It's really weird to me because it's like the fact that we've got these crazy extremists going around doing all this just unbelievable shit, and that mm-hmm. there are people out there who kind of just accept it like, oh, that's just normal. I don't understand. Like, okay, well, Fox was punished, so let's not keep punishing them, even though
right.
they have been spewing lies for decades. Well, mm-hmm. I don't know when they started, but for a long ass time and mm-hmm. hurting democracy.
Yes,
so,
of course.
And then people are like, oh, well, they had to pay. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know.
You know,
we'll
I
see.
Was really disappointed with the thing that I think everybody was disappointed about. Was that they did not have to fess up on
yeah,
her.
Yeah.
And really specifically talk about what was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have
totally
to.
Totally agree. Yeah. I was
and
really
I think
pissed
that
off.
Was, to me, the first thing I thought of was I was really, really mad. I realized that, you know what, Dominion has been saying all this about, you know, securing our election. Mm-hmm. They don't care about that. They
no.
just wanted the money. It was
yeah.
a total money grab.
Yeah.
I get it. This company wasn't worth anywhere near that much money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Am I glad that they got the money and I'm glad that it was punitive for Fox? Absolutely. That they folded and did not, that they folded for mm-hmm. half the money and
yeah.
didn't get, you know, an on air really is
right.
not, of course, systematic is promising that
mm-hmm.
that's what will happen. But
yeah.
who knows if there's a
yeah.
settlement, right? Everyone says that's what's going to happen and that, oh, well, we got the money. Goodbye.
Mm hmm. Yeah, that's true. Although, because they specifically said that they're not going to settle for that, I'm hoping
yes.
that they're not bullshitting. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, I'm not going to get too much. This is so crude. So if you don't like crude,
yeah.
you better skip ahead. But it's like what I have found is guys that brag about having big dicks usually have big dicks. They usually don't lie about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
So we'll see. Yes, that's true. It's just true.
Oh, my God. Well, I have a little thing that I want to do, but I'm going to start this off with last night. Mehdi Hasan was on the Chris Hayes show. Basically, he was subbing for him, and he did this whole thing on white supremacy, and I'm really glad that he did it.
Listen, I love this man so much.
Yes.
I am late to the game. I am late to the game. I want to be his fan club, honest to God.
I know. He's really great. He's so fucking... I just love how there's no fucks, no punches pulled. He just says it.
Yes.
And so what I, you know, it's like I was watching him and I was thinking, you know, he was talking about Biden at that, what he was at a college speaking and he talked about white supremacy. It wasn't the first time, but Biden keeps talking about it. And so, I mean, that is a big, huge message to everybody out there who considers it hyperbole at this point or feels like that's not what you say in polite, you know.
Mm-hmm.
No, it isn't. This is, we're at a critical moment right now. And it's weird because, I mean, I'm sure this feels this way to you because it's happening, but it's like we get these incredible like wins and then we are witnessing like just the extremism and the fascism. It's like a combination of wins on either side. And
yes.
So, you know, and it's so difficult to even figure out what's happening because, you know, on one day you're like, woohoo. And the next day it's like, ah, blow. And people are losing rights and the rights just getting crazier. So I'm watching this thing with Mehdi Hasan. So I just want to bring this to one point and then we'll get back to Mehdi and talking about white supremacy. But Victor Shi tweeted something out the other night that blew my mind. And it was basically a crowd at a mayoral rally in Philadelphia for a woman named Helen Jim. She is an Asian woman.
I'm going to stop you right here.
Okay.
This is the craziest. I saw the post.
Uh-huh.
I saw the event. And when I saw that post and I looked at that event, I live in the most center of Center City, right? In the most populated area. I don't live in a cave. I talk to a lot of people. I live in a big building. I have yet to speak to one person that is voting for Helen. Not one. Not a single person. Now, would I, is it great? Would I love if she would? Yes. I'm going to be honest. Right now, our bar is so low, I would take almost any of the top three or four candidates, honestly.
Yeah.
I do know a lot of people feel very favorable about Rebecca Reinhart, and I have heard a lot of people are interested in voting for her. But listen, I mean, it would be phenomenal if Helen did win, because Philadelphia, that literally would pull, I believe Democrats are 7-1 in Philadelphia. So to pull Philadelphia even a little bit more progressive would certainly be fine with me.
Well, I just, what
she
got
is the most
me,
progressive candidate by far.
The thing that blew my mind is how many people were at that rally in May 20. It was a May 20.
Believe it.
There was so many. And it's like for a mayoral rally. This is insane. So I'm, you know, regardless of if she wins, regardless of who she is and all, I mean, aside from being a Democrat, that's promising to me. So like, as we're listening to the, we're not even listening, as we're witnessing this white supremacy and everything that comes with it, we're also seeing this. And I don't know how many young people are, I mean, Victor Shi is a Gen Z activist who has more energy than I can. Guy has so much fucking energy.
You did too when you were 12, but okay.
Still,
but
never
right,
like him.
Okay.
He is like,
he's doing great work. Let's just just keep this guy going. I retweet whatever I can.
Exactly, because he blows my mind. He's really, 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 really good at messaging. And so, but he's like the Energizer Bunny of activists. It's like that dude is just endless fucking energy. But
maybe that's the never mind. Never mind, I didn't have to say it, but you knew where I was going, didn't you?
Because I have a dirty, crude mind.
Trending. Yes, me too.
But yeah, so I mean, I'm hopeful about that. But I mean, the thing that's scaring me is, you know, we're seeing, was it the guy's name Connolly? I can't remember. Where the, the baseball bat, the two staffers, Democratic staffers, were beaten with a freaking aluminum baseball bat. And of course, we're seeing the guy in Allen, Texas, with all the swastikas all over his body. And, you know, what does the right have to say? Oh, they're fresh. Like, that means nothing. So it doesn't matter when he got them. He had swastikas on his body in ink.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. And so, okay, with all of that, I'm just wondering, you know, what your, like, what's your take on where we are in a, as a country? Do you feel that it's going to be headed in a positive direction as we move into 2024? Are you freaking out? Are you biting your nails? What are you feeling?
Wow, there's just a whole lot of questions in that.
I'm really good at that, asking lots of questions.
Well, you are. If I can remember them, I'll pick them all up. here's what I am somewhat optimistic. I feel as though, a couple of things. For sure, Trump could not afford to lose one voter.
Right.
I have no question that's happening.
Yes. It does,
right. Because these, you know, we know that all of these elections are, you know, won in those thin margins. Mm-hmm. Right. He can't afford to lose any. He couldn't afford to lose any. There's no question he's lost some, in my mind.
Yeah.
I also think that the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Lauren Boberts of the world are simply making the right look crazier and crazy.
Yes.
And I do think that there's enough people in the middle saying, no, you know. I also think that guns, women's health care, I think all of these things are in our favor because the vast majority agrees with all of these topics, right? So I do feel somewhat optimistic about Democrats moving forward, but I don't think things will ever be the same. I don't think, you know, this is Pandora's box is open.
Mm-hmm.
Racism has always been here. They've just got a permission slip to talk about it and to feel as though that it was acceptable.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's the thing for me that is the biggest struggle is that it's the confirmation bias. Mm-hmm. You can't have a conversation with somebody on the right. You can't have a debate. You can't talk about it because it spins off into conspiracy theories that they've been fed by Nancy Mace or somebody on television that they believe knows.
Yeah.
And so the investment is to be right, right? The the brain's always, you know, that's the mind, always wants to, the survival of the mind is to be right, even if it's to be wrong, to be right. So particularly when you get people that are this far out and this extreme, there's no talking to these people. I hate to say these people, they're people, you know, but there's no talking to people on the right. You can't have a conversation, you know, they're still chanting lock her up.
I know. Well, that's
So I think there's two separate things. Yes, I do feel optimistic about where I think things are going. Excuse me, because my allergies today are really bad. But I don't think it's ever going to be the same.
Right.
And if we can get back for 1 second, because it is, I think it is relevant, to the broadcast you saw last night in place of, I guess it was in place of Chris Hayes, right?
Yes.
He did talk about, let's not forget these things. Marie Le Pen lost.
Yeah, that's right.
Borsellino now has to go to another election, right? Never had that before, okay? And really rattled off two or three or four extreme conservative leaders that are having trouble. Didn't win. They're slipping, right? So are we making progress in tiny little numbers, in little increments? I'm not sure. But it did give me pause last night when I heard him rattle off the three or four or five leaders and things that actually demonstrate that the right is not, dare I say, winning. Or extreme conservatism is not winning.
Right.
I mean, we have people here, and we have all the Republicans saying, "Oh, well, yeah, just, you know, change Social Security to 70. It worked everywhere else. It worked everywhere else. In France, they were in the streets burning things down. Okay, what is wrong with these people? You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did I answer all your questions?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of how I feel. It's like you. I look at Donald Trump and I feel like, okay, outside of just hardcore cheating, there is no way I see him winning. Like you said, I'm sure he's lost people. He, aside from losing part of the base, you know, he's losing elections ever since basically he was elected that for, well, he wasn't really elected. He was installed that first time. And then every election after that was pretty much like a mandate against him. And then, you know, as we see, and it's so weird because he keeps losing, but the right doesn't let him go because he's got such a hold over that base. But yeah, I just, I feel like the extremism is the thing that motivates. It's the thing that we, it's so weird because Democrats absolutely need a motivator. We need to feel inspired to get up off our asses and get out of our busy schedules to go vote, which it's very easy now, especially when you can vote by mail if your state allows you to. But I mean, it's something that we've had an issue with, Democrats voting consistently and backing up, especially if we've got a, you know, a president, a Democratic president in the White House. Oftentimes we get complacent and we're like, eh, well, we've, you know, we're winning. And and then we basically guarantee them a red Congress. So
I don't see, I think it's very difficult to remain complacent, like you said, for more than a day.
Yes.
Every single day they're killing children. They're, you know, they're trying to, you know, take the, you know, the, you know, abortion medication off the I mean, it's disgusting, right? And so every single day, you could be complacent for a day, but that's about it. I mean, I have like, oh wow, there was no bad news today, you know, like it's a big deal.
Exactly.
their level of extremism is so insane that I don't really think people can remain complacent. Every time, you know, now it's going to come up with the Supreme Court, with a pill, with this. Every single time one of these things hits, it enrages people even more.
Yeah, you know? It really does. And I mean, I just go back to them striking Roe down. And I feel like that it, even though we didn't want it to happen, I think it was a huge wake-up call to so many people who had just been thinking, you know, so many people, and they've said it, oh, they'll never strike Roe down. I had a friend telling me that in the, like, early 2000s, and I had to, like, I told you so to her because I knew they were going to freaking do it. She's like, oh, they're
go
never going to get rid
go
of
search.
It.
Go search Molly Youngfast. She's been saying for 5 years, you're not listening to me. They're overturning Roe. They're overturning Roe. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. They're going to do it. Everyone, you know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
She did, you know, and she got it. She knew.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, I knew that that was their goal, you know, back when George.
I didn't think they were going to be able to do it. I'll be honest with you.
Really?
I didn't.
A lot of people used the argument that, oh, they need it to fundraise. They can still fundraise off of it right now. They can fundraise off the idea that Democrats are going to bring back abortion. So you need to fund the Republicans so Democrats don't. I mean, they can always use it to fundraise.
Infant size. I'm sorry. You know, really. You know.
I know. It's so fucking maddening. But that is the whole, that's the thing. It's like, unfortunately, we need the kick in the ass to feel motivated to vote. And I hope, you know, and now it's getting to the point, I believe last week I was watching Joy Reid, and I can't remember, it was a gun reform conversation, but it was about how Republican women, and somebody in a Republican district was talking about how Republican women are like, okay, now I'm starting to freak out about my kid going to school. Maybe they won't necessarily say it out loud, but they'll say it, you know, to people they know.
Did you see the tweet that somebody posted yesterday from their child? That said, can I please come home? Oh. And she, you know, I don't, what's wrong or whatever. And he said, they said that there's a threat at the school. Please, mommy, let me come home.
Oh my God.
And she said, yes, we heard. I'll be right there. You know, I mean, and this really, I mean, I read that and I literally wept.
Yeah.
Thinking of parents, mothers,
right.
You know, I don't think there could be anything worse than, look at Fred. He makes me cry every single day. He's so, you know, committed to the loss of his child and fighting for all of us.
Yeah,
but
that's Fred.
Just the thought of, you know, losing a child, I just can't imagine.
No.
And all of the parents, mothers, fathers today thinking every morning, is my child going to come home today? Are they going to be killed? You know, it's not safe anywhere. And it's heartbreaking.
I know. My niece is 8. And, you know, I mean, my whole family, you know, we're all, mm-hmm. it's not that we live in fear, but there's always that thing in the back of your mind. Mm-hmm. you know, I hope she comes home safe from school today. And right. it's really right. upsetting. So, you know, I think there is reason to be hopeful. I do. Mm-hmm. I also kind of look at Gen Z. I look at women, even though white women historically as a block vote for GOP. But in the bigger sense, women are so pissed off at it's what's happening, because it's not just about abortion. Like you said, I mean, it's now about
I don't know if we have a political breakdown, but a lot more women have been voting. How do we find that out? I'm sure that number must exist.
Yeah, I'm sure.
That would be a good conversation sometime.
Yeah, especially for 2022, just because we were like,
we could ask Nate Silver.
No, we should ask Christopher Boozy. I got
pleasure just in saying that. Just threw it out there.
Well, you know, our friend Christopher Boozy had predicted, he thinks that Joe Biden is going to win, and he predicted it, and he said that he had predicted things in the past like well over a year in advance and was correct. And so I'm going to just go with Boozy on this, because it's like Biden has to win. You know, it's like he really
the deck is a little bit stacked. He is the incumbent and all of that. And all of the, you know, the extreme right noise and mess that's out there. He just has to stay healthy.
Mm hmm. He just has to stay healthy.
That's what I believe. His only job to do is to stay healthy.
Yes, we're like, because he's doing a great job. Other than that,
I'm going to put him on a stick and carry him around, because that's what we got, like a buffet.
We all will. It'll be weekend at Biden's.
Oh my God, forbid!
I shouldn't say that.
Oh my God, it would take 30 seconds for Gavin Newsom to like send out an announcement. Anyway.
You know he would.
There's some two or three of them waiting, right, with their toes right on the line. Right now, everything's fine.
That's so funny, and it's so true. Oh my God. Okay, well, I have to just move this over to. I'm sure you saw the news yesterday about Elon Musk, right?
Of course I did.
Oh my God. So. You know, it drives me nuts, because I've gotten off the beat. I'm not going to like shame people for paying him. I understand. I don't pay him, and I have absolutely taken the hit for it. And not only that, it's like now that I don't have, because I had the, like you, the legacy verified check. When you had the leg of, before he came along, it was a great way to, you know, if somebody like Mark Hamill followed you or something like that, you had that verified tab where you could see that. And then if somebody followed you, for me doing this podcast, it was like, okay, well, like when you followed me, all of a sudden now I was like, oh, I can email Jay and I can ask him to be on my podcast. And it doesn't mean you're going to be on my podcast, but it gave me that opportunity. And now that's all gone, because I don't know when an old school verified person, you know, unless I just happen to see it in real time, I don't see it, because they're not showing up on the verified tabs.
They're not. And I think that, what he did is he started throwing blue checks around to people saying that he paid for it, because what he realized was there was no aspiration left, and who wanted to be like a loser with three followers? So let's just sprinkle around enough, okay, with bigger accounts so that people have the impression that they really are paying or that it is, you know, again, somewhat – it's ruined. It's done. Yeah. It's like a blanket – of you know, Canal Street knockoff bags of something that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
You know.
I know.
I think though, with respect to the article, you know, it seemed to me that they were interested in him because of this, because of the investments in Morgan. But I really wonder if it's a lot more than that, because they sure are asking for a lot of correspondence and things of that nature. So, you know, sometimes they, you know, use a tactic to get the information they need to go further, you know.
Yeah, this is the U.S. territory is suing J.P. Morgan for allegedly enabling and benefiting from Epstein's trafficking of young women to his private island to be abused by him and others. And then the Virgin Islands has issued a subpoena to Elon Musk seeking documents. So, yeah. And then there's pictures of Elon Musk floating around with that woman, Ghislaine, or however you say her name. So, yeah, I mean, I don't trust Elon Musk at all. And I hate the fact that anybody pays him. I understand there are people who are invested in, you know, trying to save democracy and all of that.
I think that I just have so many thoughts, and this is an entire podcast, to be honest with you, I think. But I'm in a situation where, so I've been verified for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And when Blue came out, 3 years ago, I don't know how long it came out, long before Elon, right? The thing that was a huge bet, first of all, there was an edit feature, which we didn't all have yet. Mm-hmm. Second of all, the thing for me that really made a difference is that I could post videos up to 10 minutes in high quality.
Yeah.
And for me as a filmmaker, and I think everybody knows, I do post a lot of videos and a lot of media, that was worth it right there. Now, of course, it was $4-$5 when it started. But about 4 months, 6 months ago, however long, when I was looking at my subscriptions, I had a thing there that said save whatever the percentage was if you renew yearly, which I did, because it was $20-$30 savings. Then all of this happened, and I wrote extensive emails saying, get rid of this thing. I don't want it. Keep the money. No. I posted all the support replies, of course, which were no, too bad. And this is closed, and we will not be responding to this case further.
Wow.
And so what I did for about a month was literally changed everything. Mm-hmm. I gave up my handle Jaded Creative that I had since 2008. Mm-hmm. That kept it away for a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Then I changed my name.
Wow.
Then I changed my photograph. And each one of those things, they don't permit you to change everything at one time, which worked for me because I could just keep changing things until I ran out of changing things.
Yeah.
Now it won't permit me to change anything.
That's fucking crazy. And I'm glad you told me that, because I just noticed.
And it says, no, you're under, you know, this may be under review or for other reasons you can't change at this time. I'm like, So
yeah, and I just noticed you're not Jaded Creative.
I get a lot of flack from people like, how dare you, how dare you? And I'm like, look, read all that stuff. I can't get out of it. So I'm not, I got to stop apologizing.
Right,
you
know? Right. And it's, yeah. And the thing is like at first, you know, there was the whole thing, and it pisses me off to see
Blue, all that.
Exactly.
Stuff.
And it pisses me off to see anybody is paying him. And it pisses me off because I don't want him to benefit. I don't want him to get any money. And that's what pisses me off, is that he is fucking around with us.
Well,
and he's getting money
for
it.
If you think, there are two things I want to say about this. First of all, when it did come out, we did want to support Twitter. Number one, he wasn't there.
Right.
Number two, the thing that enrages me about old Twitter and new Twitter is that they never attempted to market the product on its merits.
Mm-hmm.
People don't even know what the benefits
exactly,
are or the features are. They don't know anything. Mm-hmm. They don't talk about it. You know, he threw this check in. He never had to do that to begin with. Okay, because first of all, there's enough rich stuff in there, and he could have come up with 100 other things that he could have added that he didn't need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we had a different MO about that, obviously. He used this as a tool to clean out all the verified accounts and start his own version of verified accounts. That's what he did. Mm-hmm. It was his easy way to clean it out and start over.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it'll never be the same. So
yeah, it'll never be the same, and I don't know where it's going to go. It's like,
I do think it's shameful that they never even attempted, you know, to market Blue,
right?
Or, you know, on its own merits, which I've never seen.
Yeah, it's a fucking drag, and the thing that bugs me, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of reasons why it's bad, but aside just on a personal level, you know, as a podcaster who invites people, I want to invite people that a lot of people like and follow. And, you know, and so it's a lot more difficult for me. And also, it used to be, you know, when Elon took over, I was at the same number, basically, that I'm at now of followers. And the way that I had been growing before, at this point, I would be well over 100,000 followers. It just hasn't changed. It just doesn't change. And I don't get the reach that I used to. I'm not going to pay him because fuck him. I will stay on Twitter as long as everyone else is on Twitter, but I'm only on Twitter because no one else is, you know, it's like, I guess.
Listen, I mean, here's the truth. We love Spoutable. We love Chris. We like this. We like that. Here's the bottom line. There's nothing close. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. There's other places. They're good. They're nice. They're great. There's nothing like this.
Right. And I think, I mean,
nobody
I
wants to say that. I don't care if you're blue sky, whatever. This is not close.
It's not close. And I'll say it's not close yet because I do think, I think because, you know, whether it's Blue Sky or Spoutable, both of those people understand what Twitter used to be. So, you know, Boozy knows what Twitter used to be. Clearly Jack does since he created it. So I think eventually those sites will get up to the ease of use, although the ease of use on Twitter for some things is there, but for other things is not. Because when I now see that, you know, John Fugelsang liked my tweet, is it really John Fugelsang? I have to go look. Or if I want to invite someone, I have to really, and so it's not the same.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and I'm stuck with this blue thing for another 7 or 8 months or however long it is now until my year is up.
Yeah.
But when all of this, when Elon came on initially and there were all these purges and stuff like that, I think I lost about, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000 followers.
Yeah.
I'm paying. I don't have those 2,000 or 3,000 followers back.
Right.
I'm not even, I'm at the same number I was, maybe 1,000 more. Yeah. Right. I haven't recouped the ones that disappeared when Elon came on.
Exactly.
So if this is, you know, blue is supposed to be the number magic, I'm not seeing it. I mean, everyone, you can look very clearly at everybody's followers and see what's there. My numbers have barely changed at all.
Oh my God. It's just, it's so fucking, but I'm glad you told me because I realize now that I have you, in the Patreon as Jaded Creative. So I'm going to have to go change that before I post the show. Okay, so the last thing I want to talk about, though, I had a couple other things, but instead I'm going to exchange it out for your movie, Shoulder Dance. So I want to hear about that. And I just saw you've got, it's Queerty.com, it's a whole story
when
on
it. When is this going to air?
Today.
I can't say any much more about it. I can tell you a little bit about the film only because the press release is coming out.
And I see.
I'm not permitted.
Okay.
But it's all good. It's all good.
First of all, when is it out yet?
That's what I can't talk about.
Okay.
But it, you know, that will be blah blah blah.
Okay.
We'll know in short order.
Gotcha.
No, wait. It's imminent. The
there
press
you
release
go.
Is imminent. The release date, maybe not. But we are still in the festival circuit, Philadelphia, closing night this Saturday, May 20th, 6:40.
That's exciting.
And I think that, you know, it's very interesting because, you know, whenever you write a story, you have perceptions about how, you know, what are people going to think about this and how will this appeal? You know, it's a little bit of an unconventional story. And I'm quite surprised that the reactions and the feedback I've gotten are almost entirely inconsistent with what I expected.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
I really do. I mean, you know, it's a story of best friends who are next door neighbors. They grew up to each other next to each other. They were inseparable for 16 years. They had an argument. One of them moved away and they hadn't spoken in 23 years. And he loses his mother. He felt compelled to call. And so this weekend, this is about the weekend where they kind of reconcile. And one of them is straight and one of them is gay. And, you know, it's an interesting observation in those really blurry, messy lines between friendship, love, sex, you know, in there. And how emotional intimacy really is not a very big step away from physical intimacy sometimes, you know? Maybe sometimes it's not even necessary or not at all necessary, but it does get blurry in those areas. And so, I'd love to hear what you think about it.
Now,
I'm a nervous wreck about Charlotte seeing it.
I can imagine Charlotte.
Only
Clymer,
because I love Charlotte, and she would like not be like nice to me just because she likes me. Like she will be honest no matter what.
She'll be brutally honest.
And
with me,
also that I'm always blown away by her perspective on things.
I know.
It really does. She is absolutely one of those top 10 people on Twitter that has. Really changed the way I view the world and a lot of, you know, and a lot around that. And so I'm nervous of all people, you know.
No,
isn't that funny?
I totally understand. And I mean, well, she's very crisp and clear when it comes to, just stating things that maybe you hadn't even thought of, you know, you're going along and you're, you know, I can speak for myself as a almost 55 year old woman and a Gen Xer, and I'm kind of crude. And, you know, I mean, I grew up with inappropriateness all over the place. You know, I mean, I saw, what is it? Animal House when I was 8 years old. And so, you know, and I saw it through the lens of being funny at that time,
right?
Even though I was only eight. I definitely have a crude sense of humor, which is not always politically correct. Right. And so with Charlotte, obviously, you know, her experience, I mean, oh my God, she's been very forthcoming about her experience growing up and
very,
everything.
Very forthcoming. And I think that, you know, when you are forthcoming like that, that only gives people permission to, like, you know, get close to you.
Yeah.
You know, that they want to, you know, they want to know, they want to share, you know, what's intimate with themselves as well. Hopefully it's good. Not always, but, you know, but nobody handles the situations better than Charlotte. If you get a sweetie, it's over. Okay.
I know. God,
like, forget
you do
it.
Not
if I've only been
sweetie
once, and I got to tell you, I will never be sweetie again. I am such a good boy.
No kidding. That is so funny. Well, you know, it was funny because I had Charlotte on
the show. I really do adore her. She really is just, you know, magic.
Well, yeah. And she helps all of us, I think, like you
she
said.
Does.
I mean, she expands our awareness and our understanding of things. And,
yes.
you know, I mean, it was funny because she was on my show back, God, I think it was like 2018. And
wow, I got to go find that.
It's old. But she was at the time Charles Clymer. And so I was talking to her with my with Stephanie, who was at the time my co-host. And so, you know, we had this conversation. It was specifically about Charles identifying as queer and what that meant. Mm-hmm. And then I would say about 3 hours after the podcast aired, which was the same day, she came out as Charlotte. So I have a feeling that the conversation that we had, because she didn't really feel like she was authentically being herself. And, you know, she was trying with the queer thing. And it was just, I think it just probably, I mean, I never talked about this with her, but I feel like it probably just didn't sit with her well. And she thought, you know what? That's not really who I am. And, or if it's only a small portion of it. And then she came out as Charlotte. And boy, when she came out as Charlotte, though, I mean, for the most part, she was embraced, especially by the left. I mean, obviously not by the right, but totally embraced. And not only embraced, but she is, like you said, she's an important voice. So
she's a very important voice. And, you know, it doesn't hurt that she's also a very intelligent, intellectual individual.
Incredibly
smart. You
know,
so she can speak to almost any topic.
I know.
Which is really, you know, which only contributes to the joy of reading. I have to say, it really is a joy when I get her newsletter.
Yeah.
And I also, I just want to say that it's also a joy getting yours. And
oh.
The thing that blows me away, honestly, is Allison does not have a podcast or a news. She has a media empire.
Yes, she does.
Honestly, people do not get the value. No. I mean, it is ridiculous. Honestly, by the time I look at all the pictures and I see all the dogs and I look through the videos, honestly, I'm like, oh my God, this is an entire network.
Yeah.
Like a media network. Mm-hmm. And I'm really, really blown away by how
impressive.
Every detail of what's done, every invitation, after party, but every single thing is done beautifully, very, very clean. And I just love ingesting it all.
Oh,
you know,
well, that's,
it really
that's
is a wonderful joy. And I know that you have a big hand in that. So, I appreciate
that.
Thank
you very
much. I hope
much.
She's very grateful for all of your good work.
Thank you. Well, and yeah, I mean, it's like, she blows my freaking mind. I don't know if you saw, she had posted when she was in a band and then she was interviewing.
I read
like, oh
every single interview and every single thing. I tried to blow up the pages. I was like, I can't get them big enough to read them. I could Google them. I got a little carried away, of course. And I will say to myself, oh, she was really great with blonde hair.
I know.
It was a really cool look. But yeah, I did. I read every single shred of it.
She's an amazing person, and I'm.
I feel
very fortunate to be connected to her, and so yes, thank you, and
sure.
I'm really. I won't ask you any more questions about your film, but I can't wait to see it, and of course you're going to.
I just want
to
say there's just a bunch of spoilers in it. You know, it's really the trailer, I will say, there is one of the two trailers are posted to the website, okay. shoulderdance.com.
Gotcha. And then, okay.
Take a look at that.
Well, then, since we're giving out email addresses, since we're giving out the internet addresses, tell everybody where to find you.
You can find me on my website at jarnold.com, and my new handle is jfarnold.com because J. Farrell Arnold is one letter longer than 15.
Oh, wow.
Which is
okay.
What it is on other media. So.
Right. And then what are you? I have you on the Patreon page in your Spoutable. What is your Spoutable handle?
J. Arnold. Spoutable and poster, both J. Arnold. J-A-Y-A-R-N-O-L-D.
Oh,
I have an F in Twitter because it was already taken.
Okay. Well, I am also on Spoutable at Kimberly Johnson. And then, of course, on Twitter, author Kimberly.
You
got to
spell your name, though, because you got that extra.
I got the extra E. So everybody has to. Yeah. It's L-E-Y. Thanks, Mom, because she had to make my name different. You know what? I'm just going to quickly tell you. She wanted to name me Peyton Lee. And my grandmother at the time, because I was born in 1968, she said, no, everyone's going to think of Peyton Place. And my mother didn't have the guts to stand up to her because it was my dad. It was, you know, my paternal grandmother. So she just didn't know how to counter my grandmother. So she decided, okay, Kimberly, but with an extra E. It was like,
of course,
was like the way she was going to rebel, you know, rebel
yes,
against my grandmother.
I understand. Well, you know, the rebel apple.
And so right. I've got that extra E.
There you go. Well, you enjoy that extra vowel.
All right. Well, Jay, I just absolutely love you, and I'm so glad you were on.
I love you, too, and invite me back anytime. It's really my joy.
Awesome. I will. All right. Take care.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.